Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Last year at this time, we had Rudolph guiding the Steelers' sleigh to the playoffs. Now we have Danger Russ, a man that had a sandwich named after him at Subway that we all wanted to try and still haven't. And he is looking to win in Baltimore and have his first signature game against the Ravens. The first was a low-scoring affair where Chris Boswell kicked six field goals and led the Steelers to victory. That has been the story of so many of these Steelers-Ravens games over the years. Recent vintage. Low-scoring, first to 17 games. Tons of Steelers wins. Lots of heartbreaking Ravens losses, just the way we like it. And let's see if they can run it back and do it again tomorrow, 4:30. Afternoon in a place where I once stepped on a dead rat, Baltimore, Maryland. Chris Muller across from me.
The official animal of Baltimore, the dead rat.
The rat bird. When did that start? When did Steelers start calling him that? Did they call that when Bobby Shaw had that long touchdown catch against them?
I feel like rat birds has gone that far back. Yeah, I do.
How about Starkey? I heard this on the way over to Bowser.
I love that Shaw play. You know, I love it. It's absolutely. It's my favorite throw of Cordell's entire career.
And I was getting to this. Ernie Banks football today. Donnie, a host with Joe and now with us for another 4 hours. They do their Friday football quiz show. And Donnie got that question right. 2000, Cordell Stewart to Shaw.
2001.
2001, that's right. 2001, because it got them the AFC North champion, or AFC Central championship, excuse me.
Last year, the Central.
Yep. And Joe was like, "You're cheating. You can't possibly know that." And I thought to myself,
"It's the Malzy love for the Bobby Shaw play."
It probably comes up on her show once a month.
Is that one? That's definitely one of my greatest hits. Like I cite, there's always a couple games and plays that I cite as like my personal favorites, and that one is definitely near the top of the list. It's funny that you open the show with that. I was at the Plum Make-A-Wish Telethon, which is a cool thing.
Can you just let this cat out of the bag on what they wanted you to do? Did you hear about this, Don?
I did not.
Oh, no. I'll tell that part in a second. But, like, great cause. Like, I think I've been doing this for, like, 12 years, just appearing and doing, like, a Q&A and, like, a little bit about me. Very Rick Barat, he does the TV prod, runs that over there, and those kids are awesome. And so one of the guys, the school resource officer, I guess you would call it, or the chief, like, the police officer who's in the school, huge fan of the show, and he said the one thing that he just marvels at with both of us, he's like, the sheer amount of recall you guys both have, nailing the years.
Don't leave Donnie out of that.
He was talking about all of us. He was just like, "I love you guys. I listen all the time." His name was Tim. So shout out to Tim. And he was just like, "You guys are absolutely wild with the amount of recall you have for this kind of play." And that's what made me think of it. But I won't bury the lead, Donnie. So I walk in and I know where to go, but like somebody escorts me down to the hallway where their TV prod studio is located. And there's like some high school like boys working security, like making sure like other kids don't come like pouring in there and whatever. And so they all have a role. And it's like, and I say this in an affectionate way, a bunch of jag off like 16, 17, 18 year olds. Before I even say hi, they go, "One, where's full of baloney?" That was said. And I just immediately like chuckle. And then they say, "Hold on, look what we've got." And they were like, "Turn to your right." And I look, and there, printed out and taped to the cinder block wall right there, is Pony's old tweet, Pickett to Pickens, the new Montana to Rice.
No way.
Yes, it's on my Twitter feed, and I just said, troll game, very strong, make sure you zoom in. They printed it out, and then this was my idea. I said, fellas, like a couple of the guys, I said, let's go. We're taking pictures. Give a big thumbs up. And so I'll retweet it right now. But it is these guys, they printed Pony's tweet just because, even though he wasn't going to be there, they wanted to troll him for that tweet.
Well, that's fantastic.
I thought so too.
The kids are doing all right, Donnie.
I was stunned at how taken aback Joe was by Donnie being able to name things that happened in Steelers-Ravens. It's what we do for a living. We live for these games. It's like our personal version of Army-Navy or Michigan-Ohio State. These are the games we remember. These are the milestones or moments in life are defined by these. Where you were for the
Immaculate
Troy
Extension.
Interception.
Troy's the interception.
The Immaculate Extension. Yes, exactly.
Just or the like the play. I mean, you and I were together drinking. No, we weren't. We weren't in the same bar. We were both doing the same thing, getting drunker than we should have with an 8 a.m. show the next day.
For Steelers-Ravens.
Steelers-Ravens, the wild card comeback.
2010, playoffs. January of 2011, yeah.
Like, I remember all those things. We've had so many discussions about the state of the rivalry. I know the morning show opened with, like, the NFL at large. Why are guys so friendly anymore? Like, I thought that was actually kind of an interesting way to go. Like, talking about how all these guys just dap each other up, generally speaking, but...
They did a back in my day?
Well, they did just kind of, like, I think it was through the prism of, like, this rivalry maybe isn't what it used to be, and it's partly a symptom of the NFL where just everyone's friends with each other, although it was very
funny. Ernie Stutner hated Johnny Unitas.
It's very funny that the one Ravens player who's calling out a Steelers player this week is the effing long snapper, which is just amazing.
Wait, what happened?
The Ravens long snapper called out Patrick Queen and said, let's see basically how tough you are when Derrick Henry's coming down the tracks. And it's like, bro, you're a long snapper. A Steelers player just got called for a personal foul for falling
There's
on a guy
There's actually been
like
a little bit of smack talk. Zay Flowers did some of that too. We'll hear that clip later.
But the long snapper's funny. But yeah, to the point of like this rivalry overall, in modern Steelers lore, like I think in the 70s, Pony, the Raiders games had the Immaculate Reception, obviously. Sure. And just you would talk about Raiders-Steelers the same way. Like most of the memorable games were Raiders Steelers. What are you laughing about?
I'm just thinking about when we were talking about like the Sea of Hands play and we were asking people to figure out or the Holy Roller play.
The Holy Roller. Happens. Oh yeah, dude. What did the guy say? Like a dude rolled on the ground or something like that. What was that for?
I don't even remember. This game, I said this to myself as I was driving over here. And I want to know if either one of you guys agree with it. I'm not saying this is like I keep getting this thrown back into my face. Oh, you're going soft on the Steelers. You're giving Tomlin free passes. You have moved the goalpost and lowered the standards and all those things. Mm-hmm. But I do believe the following is true. I could live with a low scoring loss. I could stomach it. I think I could go to sleep Saturday night and get 6 or 7 hours and wake up Sunday morning and be like, all right, let's get ready for the Chiefs now on Wednesday. Let's get George Pickens back. Let's win this friggin' football game and then get Cincinnati in week 18 and wrap up the division there. If it's a low scoring loss, I think I can move on.
I have a couple quick questions, though.
If it's a loss where
they get pumped,
where the Ravens score a lot, specifically the Ravens score a lot of points, mm-hmm. That is going to do a number on me because the mystique of having Lamar Jackson a complete basket case against you and feeling like he sees delusions and
ghosts
and all those things.
That narrative crumbles.
And that, I think, is the most important. Yes, there is the Tomlin having the coaching edge over John Harbaugh. That's not insignificant.
But, like, John's beaten him enough before in his respective careers. Well, we kind of noticed that lately.
We have the kicker who's better than theirs now after he was, you know,
the Jackson prepared. Thing is the major element of this story.
And I think that's gone if he puts up big points. Because it's not like he hasn't beaten the Steelers before. He isn't winless against them. He has one win. But the context of that win was He beat Duck Hodges, and he threw three interceptions.
And he looked like he was going to take an L before his defense bailed him out. He hasn't been the reason they won a game.
He hasn't been Lamar Jackson. He's been, give me another quarterback whose last name was Jackson. Can we think of one?
Jarius Jackson from Notre Dame.
How about Tarvaris Jackson?
Tarvaris Jackson from?
He went to SWAC school, I want to say.
Wasn't it like Alabama State or something?
I think so. But that's... So that to me, like,
and it's in his head, by the way, like he has acknowledged his fundamental frustration and almost like confusion and bewilderment that it keeps happening to him here.
So I obviously want the Steelers to win. I don't think they will. And we will debate like how important winning this game is and having a home playoff game is for them. But that's where I'm going to start with this. I could live with a low scoring loss. Do you agree?
Yes, because that would be more like a predictable, hey, they just got the best of you in the traditional way in which these games are contested. So, yeah, I mean, live with it. I mean, I'm laughing at the idea that you would sleep poorly if they lost the game. Like, you would actually go to bed and be deeply troubled.
If it looks like the Philly game, I think, Donnie, did Fittipaldo say that this game is going to be the exact same score and basically go the same exact way with you guys today? Did I hear him say that?
His score prediction was the same. It was 27-13.
If it's that, then you just got punked by the team that you've beaten 8 or 9 times. The division is still up in the air. Mahomes is playing tomorrow. And this is the real kick in the scrotum. Cincinnati's starting to think they're going to be last year's Steelers. They think they're going to be the team that, like, defies the odds and they win out and all these other things break their way and they somehow miraculously get into the playoffs. I don't want swaggy-ass Joe Burrow coming in here for Week 18 thinking this is actually a playoff game for them, where if they win, they're in with help. Like, I don't want that. I want to get this thing done now. I can live with a low-scoring, but if they get beat by 2 touchdowns, I'm starting to think, holy F, is this going to start to look like Pitt's football season?
The only thing
where they lose out down the stretch here?
It's not TJ Watt being out, but like they do have injuries on that side of the ball that like at least you can squint and say there's a reason for this.
But Elliott being out should not lead to you getting blown out.
I mean, Dante, I know we all kind of laugh, but Dante Jackson's been pretty damn good.
They're saying
he's
going to play as the scuttlebutt.
I mean, but you also know that he's like
less than 100%.
Yeah, and
could
I mean,
get injured again.
And it's a back injury. He could get injured getting out of bed Sunday morning,
Donnie,
or Saturday morning.
How about you on this one? Could you live with a low-scoring loss?
Donnie, hold on. Before you answer that, are you a little bit amused at the idea that Pony would go to bed sleeping fitfully Saturday night if, like, the Steelers lost 35-23 or something like that? Because I just can't shake the amusement out
of
my head.
I said I wouldn't go to bed well if they lost 35-23.
I know. I can't shake the amusement there.
It is always kind of funny wording. Like, would you live with a close loss?
Could Chris Muller tolerate?
Like, could I?
Could he possibly stomach,
Donnie, you know,
a certain kind of loss?
You know what I'm talking about.
I mean,
you get what I'm trying to say here.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's also like a little bit outlandish. Like, just that thought. Like, I can't stomach to watch another football game if they lose.
He hands Stella off to Amanda, and he goes, "You put her to bed. I'm in the wrong frame of mind for this. I need to just go be alone."
I mean, that's the way I sort of see the game going. I know we'll get more into detail about that later, but like I think it'll be a game where Lamar is still stuck in that shell against the Steelers. They just happen to score more points because I don't know how many the Steelers can put on the board. I think they need like a defensive or special teams touchdown to win the game.
Aren't you a little worried about the Steelers' offense? Like, you can't just possibly feel like, well, Pickens comes
back.
Why
would you even put the word little in there? Just drop that.
Well, most of you, I'm saying the theme of what you've said mostly has been, I think, more about their defense and its inability in this hypothetical to stop Lamar. Like, if they win a low-scoring, ugly game, obviously a win is way better than a loss for a variety of reasons. But, like, it does nothing to shake the notion that they are really vulnerable offensively as long as Pickens isn't in there. Like,
I mean, that is a looming thing. I hate to say this, but because it's watered-down expectations where you don't even know what the original drink tasted like, but it feels like they play with house money offensively as long as Pickens isn't out, because my damn bar for what I expect out of them is basically at the city of New Orleans' sea level,
which
that's how low it is. Yes,
A lot of levies there.
I mean, maybe by the time we get to Cincinnati, if he plays, it looks like he's going to play against
Kansas City.
Seems like
they've been holding him off.
This is the last time they have to deal with this.